Thank you, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome also from WIPO, and certainly also on behalf of our Director General, Francis Curry. I wish to thank our host, DDG Yee, and also my colleague from WHO, Marie-Paule Kiener, for welcoming me here on the podium. As the third speaker, I can support most of what they said and be a bit short. Just to say also and to underline the importance that we at WIPO also attach to this trilateral cooperation, of which this symposium is another good example. This trilateral cooperation addresses three elements which are closely interlinked: public health, trade, and innovation. And in these areas, policymakers are faced with complex but also broad range of different policy options. And of course, it's important that they understand the impact that decisions in one area may have in other areas. And it's also important that they have the capacity to make important choices in a rather complex and dynamic environment. Our organization, therefore, has a shared responsibility when it comes to these overlapping issues of public health, trade, and innovation. A responsibility to contribute to finding consistent policy approaches. Our cooperation has so far proceeded, broadly speaking, along three avenues, again interlinked. First of all, coordinated technical assistance and capacity building activities. Secondly, joint analysis, of which the trilateral study promoting access to medical technologies and innovation is the prime example. And thirdly, joint policy fora like this one. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we look at the relationship between innovation and access to medical technologies from the specific perspective of middle-income countries. And although it is hard to generalize, I think it's still safe to say that middle-income countries are in a specific situation in at least three respects. Firstly, they're becoming increasingly important players in the geography of innovation, including in the area of medical technologies. Secondly, they are increasingly important markets also for medical technologies. And finally, as has been pointed out, middle-income countries typically still have large segments of poor people among their populations and therefore face a particular challenge of ensuring access to innovative health products. I will briefly look at both elements, innovation and access, here in my opening statement, of course, speaking for WIPO, more from an intellectual property perspective. I know that both elements, innovation and access, will be very competently covered later by eminent speakers in the course of this conference. Briefly on innovation. Well, innovation and the intellectual property system, or more specifically, the patent system, are linked. The patent system, as you know, is a traditional incentive mechanism in a competitive market economy. It provides exclusivity for a limited term and thus guarantees a competitive advantage for innovation that have passed the patenting threshold. This is considered particularly important for medical technologies in view of the high cost of product development and the high risk of failure in this area. Therefore, patents and intellectual property more generally are a very important element in the general innovation equation, but they're definitely not the only one, definitely not the only element. Just if you look at the Global Innovation Index, which is published by WIPO together with Cornell University and INSET, you will see that this index lists a broad range of factors that have an impact on the innovative capacity of individual countries. My colleague Carsten Fink will participate in the first Setting the Scene panel and will also contribute to on this. Patent statistics, therefore, are an admittedly somewhat imperfect way of measuring the innovative capacity of a country, but they can, as Deputy Director General Yee has just said, also help us to get a broader understanding. And here in this area, we see that a number of middle-income countries are rapidly increasing the number of patents that they file in the pharmaceutical field. Slightly different statistics in 2013, middle-income countries accounted for more than 12% of PCT applications published in this area, and this share has been constantly increasing since 2005, when it stood at 5.3%. So from 5.3 to more than 12% in about 5 years. If we look at the countries that have produced most of this growth, then we see that this growth is largely fueled by China and Turkey. And if we look at, broadly speaking, the percentage among these middle-income countries, we see a very high concentration coming from China, India, and Turkey. These three countries, China, India, and Turkey, have accounted together for 84% of PCT applications published in the pharmaceutical field in 2013. So, important players, but still a somewhat uneven distribution. These developments are also confirmed by other research. A recent economic study by Charles River Associates shows that there is a clear growth trend in biopharmaceutical innovative activities in middle-income countries. They say that between 2005 and 2010, industry R&D spending has increased by 455% in Asia-Pacific, excluding Japan, by 112% in Latin America, and by 303% in India. Early-stage research by international pharmaceutical companies has traditionally been carried out with a limited number of leading academic centers, largely concentrated in high-income countries like the US, Germany, Sweden, and Singapore in Asia. Now, it increasingly also involves players from middle-income countries. China stands out here as the home of 12 R&D centers, but a few R&D hubs are also established in India, Brazil, the Russian Federation, and Indonesia. This trend towards biopharmaceutical activities in middle-income countries is even clearer when we look at later stages of the R&D process. For example, middle-income countries are now hosting 15% of global clinical trial activity, according to this study. And here, China, India, the Russian Federation, and Brazil have captured the largest number of trials within those markets. So, as I said, the trend towards innovation is visible, but it is diverse. And also within those that carry innovation in this area, you see different approaches. Some middle-income countries, such as China, focus more on developing their domestic innovative bases, whereas other middle-income countries, are more focused on developing domestic generic manufacturing capacity with a view to later moving up on the innovation value chain. I don't say that any of those approaches is more valuable or more likely to succeed. I think this is also something which we're going to discuss in the panel this afternoon. A few words now also on access to medical technologies, and I don't want to underestimate and downplay the giant problems that middle-income countries are facing in this area. But again, as my colleagues have already pointed out, innovation and access are really always closely intertwined. And as with innovation, also the IP system, and more specifically the patent system, is an important element also in the access equation. But again, as with innovation, it is not the only element. Marie Pulchini has just said that access or lack of access is rarely just due to one single element. And she's also said rightly that of overarching importance are functional national healthcare systems, which are the responsibility of individual countries to put in place. Controlling prices definitely is a challenge. We have looked at pricing and procurement issues in our first trilateral symposium, and we could see that, well, there are ways for governments to try to control pricing issues, prices for medical technologies, price control, reference pricing, reimbursement limits, but also, importantly, as DDG Yi has pointed out, removing tariffs and taxes. Private sector companies may well be interested in entering middle-income markets and may have an incentive also to try to get that product on those markets at terms that the market can pay. They can use various tools which may make innovative medical technologies available at more easily available for broader segments of the population. Differential pricing, for example, is a tool that is being used. It's being used, obviously, between countries, but it is also being used within countries. It works wherever you can differentiate different segments of the market. Some private sector companies are also experimenting with creative IP licensing approaches that allow generic manufacturers from middle-income countries to produce and distribute locally cheaper versions of innovative products. Again, another attempt to enter middle-income markets. And such approaches all work on the basis of the intellectual property system. Where patents are a problem, of course, countries can have recourse to the flexibilities that are available under the WTO TRIPS agreement. Well, ladies and gentlemen, to conclude, the situation definitely is complex, but it is also dynamic. Middle-income countries, and with them, all of us, are facing enormous challenges. It is our responsibility as international organizations, collectively, trilaterally, but also individually, to help develop viable approaches. There have been many positive developments since the Doha Declaration in 2001. We see a lot of creative experimentation, both within the public as well as the private sector. And this kind of experimentation will no doubt continue as rights holders, but also governments are grappling with the challenges of balancing access to innovative products with suitable incentives to continue investing in research and development. It will be important to make informed choices, to find the right policy mix, to adopt integrated approaches that can actually reinforce the positive interplay that can exist between measures that promote innovation on the one hand and those that ensure access to medical technologies on the other. I hope that this symposium will contribute to this goal by providing a forum for the creative exchange of ideas and experience, and creativity and innovation really is what we need in this field. I wish us all a very fruitful and successful day. Thank you.